in the 1950s and 60s and were banished to maternity homes to give birth and surrender their babies for adoption. And Jane, an Abortion Service, a documentary of Jane. The Chicago-based women's health group performed nearly 12,000 safe illegal abortions between 1969 and 1973. There will be a conversation after the films between a former Jane, Judith Arcana, and a girl like her, Lonnie Jo Lee. Again, that's the Feminist Film Night and Planned Parenthood fundraiser on Friday, August 16th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 11 o'clock. Coming up next, it's the premiere of Express Yourself. Host Jai interviews spoken word artists Izzy Israel and Jess. Don't forget that you can hear all of these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. All of these KBU programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to KBOO.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate.
It's your guy, Izzy Israel, here with the Express Yourself Show. Holla at your boy. Yeah!
What is up, everybody? You are now listening to KBOO Portland 90.7. You are now tuned in to Express Yourself. I'm your host, Jai, and today I'm so excited to announce that this is the first Express Yourself show that has ever been broadcasted on the KBOO Community Radio. This show features talented spoken word artists, rappers, poets, and singers from around the Portland metropolitan area. On today's show, y'all, I have the absolute pleasure of talking with my own flesh and blood, Izzy Israel. What is up, bro?
What's up, sis? How you living?
Izzy in the house. I'm
How
living
you doing?
Right. I'm living really good, really good.
Good, good, good.
He is here on the show to discuss his spoken word career and to talk about his newly released EP entitled Reverse Introversion, which I absolutely love and I highly recommend, just saying. But it's dope, y'all. Take a listen to that. He also performs at various venues around Portland rather frequently.
Yeah, typically at like 21 and up venues, because that's typically the only time they have like platforms. So like Mingo Lounge, over at Vestas for ELI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how often do you perform?
It depends on the situation. If there's events coming up, I'll have myself booked for it. So you just got to keep your ears to the street. I have everything like posted on my Instagram. So yeah, if you want to know where I'm going to be at, just follow my Instagram. You'll be able to find me.
Check him out. Izzy_is_real. All right. So let's get this show on the road. So tell us a little bit about your background. How long have you been writing poetry?
So I've been writing poetry for about going on 10 years. Started when I was 14. I'm one of five. One of the biggest things with that is I'm the middle child, and so middle child typically is the one that's like not really seen. They're kind of invisible. They kind of, you know, morph into the background. And so for me, that was kind of my escape, my ability to just get away. So from there, I started to just like share with my family, and they were like, "Oh, Iz, like you should probably like keep this up, you know, like keep doing this because this is actually kind of dope, and what you have to say is very important, and it's powerful when you speak." And so I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I guess I'll keep, you know, keep seeing what that's about. Mm-hmm. And so then after that, I went to college. And one of my friends was like, hey, are you trying to go to the spoken word event? And I was like, all right, yeah, for sure. Where is it at? And he was like, oh, it's over at this building. And he was like, oh, actually, if you want, you can sign up for it. And I was like, nah. He's like, you do poetry, right? I was like, I mean, like, I write poetry. Like, mm-hmm. I don't do spoken word, mm-hmm. you know? Like, that's a total different thing to me, in my head, at least, at the time. And so he just kept nudging me. He's like, Izzy, you really should try it out. And I was like, all right, we'll see what happens. And so, yeah, my freshman year, like, within the second week of me being on campus, I was out there, and I was like, all right, let me see what this is about. And People start to love him. My community, like, we just really embraced that aspect of, like, who I was and my creativity. And so from there, I was like, all right, I can keep this up. So I started to do more and more events. I started to be, like, a keynote presenter at different things. And so that kind of launched me into becoming, like, an MC. So I MC a lot of events around campus or around the Portland metro area. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it started for me.
So you kind of, like, spoke on your journey to spoken word, which leads me to my second question of how long have you actually been performing? Because I know you said you started performing on your campus, but, like, how long ago was that and, like, up to now?
Okay, yeah. So I've been performing since I was, like, 18. That's, what, 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that, like, it's weird because it doesn't feel like it's been that long. It feels like it's only been, like, you know, there's, like, a couple times I presented here and there. And it's, like, nah, like, it's actually been something that's been, like, slowly growing over time. And, like, for me, I can tend to either overthink things or, like, underthink things. And so it's like, oh, like, where do I want to go with the spoken word? Do I want to keep performing it? Do I just want to do, is this just a hobby? Like, kind of figuring out what I want to do with it. And so, like, last summer, my homie Jesse, he goes by the artist name Kes for the Soul, and he was like, "Is like, I really think you should, like, record your stuff and, like, release it." And I was like, "Bro, like, nah, like, that's, like, what rappers do. Like, I'm not a rapper. Like, I just do spoken word, you know, like, acapella, free range, like, you know, in a community where I, like, I'm trying to hear the snaps, like, you know, I'm trying to feel people's energy." And so I feel like that's something that I don't get whenever I'm sharing it, like, and recording it, because I can't hear the response. I don't know what's hitting and what's not. And as a poet, like, it's not really about you, because you're sharing.
Right.
You may be sharing about you, but, like, it's about sharing with the community who's like, open to hearing what you have to say. And so that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's like, that's kind of what made it difficult for me to make that transition. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it out. Let me just see what's happening.
Right.
He hooked me up with his mixer, Luke DeLorenzo. We all go to school together. And so, like, he mixed and produced the EP for me.
That's really cool. Earlier, you talked about how you were the middle child, and so that kind of, like, inspired you when you first started writing to write. But now, is that still, like, your motivation for writing? Or if not, like, what inspires you now to write?
Oh, yeah, that's good. Like, a lot of times the motivating factor comes from, like, what I see happen in the world and how it makes me feel. So, like, before, it was more of, like, an emotional escape because I wasn't really talking about what I was experiencing. And so now it's transitioned. There's still aspects and elements of that to it, but it's more of, like, my narrative on what I've seen, what I'm seeing happening in the world, and whether it can be from my personal lens or it could be me speaking on behalf of, like, you know, how I sense someone else's experience could be.
Right.
Not from the sense of, like, oh, like, you know, this is someone else's cultural experience, let me tell you how it is, but more of, think about this for a second. Like, have you ever considered what it could feel like, you know, to not be from your culture, or to be from a specific culture, or from, like, a different, like, background of religion, faith, orientation, whatever, may have you. And so, like, that's kind of where it comes from me. It's like, I'm speaking my truth, what I've seen in the world, and, like, being able to, like, morph that into a creative element that, like, just hits home.
I like that. How did you decide on the name Izzy Is Real? Like, where did it come from?
Yeah, that's funny. It started out as just my Instagram name back in 2013.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a grip. Yeah. It was like a good minute ago. And, like, I don't know. Like, I thought it was just kind of fun. I've always known that I was, like, kind of dyslexic. It wasn't really, like, tested or anything until, like, 2016. But, so it's like, it's Izzy underscore is underscore real. And so, like, the is real is my name, but it's R-E-A-L, but my name is spelled I-S-R-A-E-L. And so it's like it's like playing with, like, the dyslexia aspect of it. But also to say, like, I am a real person, and, like, I'm going to try and be as real as possible. And, like, that's part of poetry. It's like being as real as possible, saying what's uncomfortable, you know, pushing the boundaries of, like, normal thought processes or normal, like, social experiences, and challenging and pushing the envelope in those different areas.
That's really dope. I actually never thought about that. That's really cool. That's really cool. Okay, so I know that I'm like itching to hear some of your spoken word, and I know like the listeners are too. So let's get to it. What is the title of the first piece you'll be sharing today, and what is it about?
So the first piece I'm going to be doing is called These Lips. It's actually the first track of the EP. And, oh, man, like, it touches on so many different topics. But ultimately, it's about my experience as a black male in a very white world. I mean, that's the U.S., you know, for me. But also just being moving from... So, like, I was born and raised in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, like, moving from there from the age of 17 up to Portland, like... That's a cultural shock in and of itself. And then going to school in Newburgh, that was even a lot more white than Portland. And so, I wrote this piece while I was in school and just kind of talking about like a lot of the different experiences that I've had from that and then addressing just things that was happening in the world at the time too. So listen up. It's These Lips coming at you. Let me know what you think.
Living in a world where honesty is weakness. I try to speak to a beat, but those drums are useless. I just want to impress you so you know that I'm a wordsmith with these lips. But there's something about just speaking. A poet knows their lane without lines to mark or confine. I'm free and no longer a prisoner to the ways of silence. Hands up, don't shoot. Violence. Suppressed emotion and insecurity. Anger. Hurt me so I'll never be hurt again. Bitterness, too late for forgiveness. This pain is too much to live with. Father, can you hear this? How much of our tomorrow do we really have? About enough to hold in a woman's back pocket. Women don't have them, just to clarify. Curves on display. Shame, shame, shame. She just chose comfort today. I'm a bellboy, well a bellman. In a wider land known as the Allison. You a black boy, wear your J's then. You a black girl, put your weave in. The higher up, the more white it gets. Cumulus clouds from the ground look full, but when in the midst of it is emptiness, reeks of jealousy. Jealousy of the cultures and traditions that exist below. I guess, now I know. That's where we get fog from. Thick clouds descending from the nines on the high. Ironic how something so high can stoop so low. Manipulating reality and distorting perception. Causing collision from lack of foresight and white interference with elections. I'm just a prophet, well, a poet. And you should know that. I'm no politician, but I know my rights. Freedom of speech, not really, cause I gotta keep it PC. We idolize ideologies and idiosyncrasies of the state, forcing truth of our nation's ugliness to be nipped and tucked, broken and cut, laced and poured in a bottle of privilege where race was born. And I'm tired of white belligerence, high key. My thoughts shift in a swoosh. Checking that box, still buying Nikes. Black Klansmen, get out. Narratives of minority life giving us a voice. Kanye in the sunken place sounded like Ron Star Wars. Slavery was a choice. I guess Ye ready to die to make America great again. Ye versus the people, sleeper. Wake up, Ye, before you get got by the Reaper. Sometimes we're not asleep, but just in a shock from the secretive chaos now seen. This world just keeps getting scarier. I sound like I never saw this coming, but it sucks to know that your worst nightmares are your everyday reality. We need a new president. Somebody might shoot me because I'm speaking truth. I'm a black man, I'm not allowed to fail, and that's a lot of pressure. I can't mess up or else I'll lose it all, which sucks the life of the determination to try. But I guess the system was never broken. It's just serving its purpose as the system that's working perfectly. MLK knew his time was near because of the gifts and passes he held inside. I guess I do too. I'm tired of living in a world where honesty is weakness. I'ma speak my truth, cause white America has brought me so much pain, depression, intercession, joy regression for my lack of confession. I've been angry, I've been running and sitting, crying and sniffing. My inner thoughts holding me with murder and ambition. I've been tired of failing, tired of faking, tired of living, tired of making. Mad at the world, tired of giving. The only parts of me left sacred and living. America, a world where the hate you give suffocates a star. I'ma speak to this beat while my words remain ruthless. I'm not a rapper, I'm a wordsmith with these lips.
Wow, that was amazing. And I mean, like, because I am your sister, but can we just give him some snaps, y'all? Let's give him some snaps. Give him some snaps. That was amazing. Okay.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, that was really good. So I really thought, like I said, I really thought that was dope. I honestly really like how your words didn't really go with the beat, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't, so like earlier you say you're not a rapper, and that's clearly shown here because you're not rapping to the beat, but then again with the tempo, with the voice inflections, with everything like that, it actually fit with the beat. So like, how did you like manage to like make everything flow even though you weren't musically going with the beat?
Right. Nah, that's cool. So I bought that instrumental off of YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of the stuff was just like me just surfing through YouTube, just looking for different instrumentals. And I was like, you know what? Like, what's most important to me is the instrumental catching the essence of my vibe, not my vibe trying to fit the essence of the instrumental.
Snaps.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate that. So yeah, that's where it came from for me. And so once I like was listening and I was like, this is it. I was like, this is the one for this one. Like, I just felt it because like I connected with it. And I think in anything creative, like if you don't connect with it, people will be able to hear it. Mm. People will be able to notice it. And so yeah, that's why I was just like, I need to stay true to who I am. And although I'm making this for like the mass audience to consume, this is more of me releasing a part of me into the world. And so like, I would want that to be the most authentic form of my identity that I identify with. And so like, that's why, you know, that instrumental kind of hit the way that it did for me, at least, is because I connected with it on a deeper level.
Wow, that was really good. In this instance, I can't really say that one can't be topped because I've heard your stuff and I know that it can be topped. So let's move right on to the second one. What is your second piece titled, and then what is that one about?
Yeah, so this one I'm about to do is not on the EP, but it was something I was just writing. It's called Grace. And so being that like I was born and raised in North Carolina, like, you know, religion's huge, or at least just like Christianity is huge. And so like growing up in that environment, like, my like I was always in church growing up. Like, our parents always had us out there. And so from there to Portland, like, we were still going like to church in every way possible when we moved out here. But when I went to college, I really started to try and figure out like, what do I believe? Like, why do I believe what I believe? And instead of like going to church for the sake of going, it's right. like, nah, like, I'm gonna figure out, like, I mean, I still believe in God, and I believe in Jesus, and that he died for me. So I'm like, all right, I believe in that, but I don't really rock with a lot of, like, contemporary Christianity. I don't know, like, how to put it, really, but it's just kind of like, there's, like, this aspect of it that just rubs me the wrong way. So, like, I kind of been out of church for a cool minute, but it's no diss or no shade, really. It's more of, like, a critique. For me personally, of like the Christian diaspora. And so this is just kind of like talking about like my journey and like just kind of how I feel about like grace and like what grace really means to me. So grace. My mind and spirit catch, I'm safe, not out and well within baritone bass. The umpire, Mr. Holy Spirit, told me, been playing catch since I was a kid. God started me with T-ball. Imagery got me imagining, foreshadowing visions that have established and fulfilled themselves as prophecy. If I knew my dreams would come true, I'd stop sleeping. Losing sleep with eyes wide open and mouth unshut, bottom jaw dropped at the idea of walking into the impossible known as my destined destiny. Every little step I take, induced destination, no longer a new addition. I'm now the only addition. Izzy is real. I was once a lost angel. I understand why Whitney chose Bobby now. When your gifts precede your physical capacity, people line up chopped and staggered, waiting for you to inhale their cheers off the glass table of their tear-filled eyes. God-like validation labeled fame. It's addicting. But grace, the bodyguard of my life, saying, I will always love you, carrying me to the day when I would then sing, I look to you.
Wow. So you mentioned Bobby Whitney, and then you end it with I look to you by Whitney.
Yeah, so like, yeah, it's kind of like, so I was sitting there thinking, and I was like, man, like, Whitney was dope. Like, her music is phenomenal. It's amazing. And I was growing up always like hypocritical of her for like being with Bobby. I was like, oh, like, that was just like a dumb move, you know, like. And this is just me being a commentator. Like, we all, like, I mean, that's just, like, as Americans, what we do. Like, we look at celebrities, we're like, oh, why do you do this? Why do you do that? And we're just, like, critiquing for no reason.
Right.
Because we're bored or don't really, like, want to think about our lives. And so, anyway, growing up, that was kind of my thought process. And then I started watching this documentary of her a couple months ago, and I was like, oh shoot, like Whitney, like, she did go to church and everything, but Whitney was hood. Like, she grew up hood, and so it's just kind of like, oh, like, her beautiful, angelic, you know, voice and the way she cared of herself. I was like, oh, she's very, like, you know, feminine. Like, my whole ideology of, like, feminism and masculinity and all of that was just a little misconstrued. But, yeah, I just started to think about it, and I was like, oh, she, like, turned to drugs and things like that. And it's like, well, no, like, no one human was meant to have godlike attention. And I feel like that's kind of what fame is. It's like godlike attention for people who are broken and human, like every last one of us. And so it's kind of like, who am I to say that she is wrong for living the life that she lived? Like, her greatest, like, her mistakes were just amplified because of, like, the pedestal that she was put on, not necessarily that she chose to be put there. And so, like, that's why I was just, like, talking about, like, when your gifts precede your physical capacity, people line up chopped and staggered, waiting for you to inhale their cheers off the glass table of their tear-filled eyes. And so it's kind of like, she was, you know, she was on coke or whatever, and it's like, but her high was from fame. And so it's just kind of like, and, like, the table that the table that she, like, snorted from was, like, the tears, like, her the tears from her eye socket, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was her reflection. Right? And, like,
that's good.
Yeah, so that's kind of where it comes from for me. It's like, oh, like, that's me, though, in my own way. Like, whatever my escape is,
right?
You know, that's kind of how I deal with it. And who am I to say that someone else is wrong when I need grace myself?
And that's a really interesting perspective, because a lot of people don't view, like, celebrities in that light. And so for you to, like, just take a different aspect and approach on that was really cool.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, so Snaps, let's give it up for him. Snaps all around.
Yes.
We love that. All right, y'all. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Express Yourself here on KBOO Community Radio. I'm here talking with Portland-based artist Izzy Is Real about his newly released EP entitled Reverse Introversion, and I'm also talking to him about his journey to spoken word. Okay, let's talk EP. So we've already heard one song from your album entitled These Lips. So now, in reference to the title of your actual album, where did Reverse Introversion come from?
Yeah, so, like, a lot of times people always tell me, like, Iz, like, you're an extrovert, right? And I'm like, nah, like, I'm an introvert. And they're like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, you do this, you do that. Like, you're part of this, you're part of that. Like, you're always in front of people. And I'm like, yeah, like, just because I'm, you know, able to communicate doesn't necessarily mean that, like, I'm not an introvert, you know? And
totally
so
relate.
I'm a firm believer in, like, breaking, like, stereotypes or, like, social norms in terms of just, like, concerning me personally. And so, like, you know, if you tell me I'm one way, I'm just going to figure out a way to, like, prove you wrong, you know, unless it's something that I identify with. If I identify with it, then, like, yeah, thank you. Thank you for affirming that in me. But, like, if you're trying to, like, put me in a box, that's, like, not, that's, it just doesn't sit well with me. So, yeah, so reverse introversion is kind of, like, what's the opposite of introversion? Extroversion. And so, like, extroversion is like, speaking out, you know, extra, like out. Intro is in. And so it's, like, the reverse of that is me taking what's in and spewing it out. And so, yeah, and I like the two words together, reverse introversion. Like, it's kind of, like, they sound very similar. And so it's just kind of like a bit of a wordplay, but, like, the alternative meaning behind it was just, like, to play with that. Like, I'm sharing, like, the deepest parts of me, which as an introvert, you don't typically do, because you just internalize it and keep it to yourself.
And, like, I really like that, because you could have named it extroversion, but I feel like people who don't know you wouldn't get it, because they would think that you would be an introvert. But, like, reverse introversion, it has very strong imagery, which is, like, really, really good. And, like, as far as, like, the introvertness, I'm actually the exact same way, as you know. And so by me having this show is definitely, like, me stepping out of my comfort zone and actually, like, doing something that's not to myself, because you say intro means inwards, extrovert means outward, and so I feel like we both are growing up and doing things that are outside the box that we're not
I
used
agree.
To
so, like, starting out this show, I was kind of like, I don't know if I should be like, oh, like, You know, like, what's up, sis? Like,
newsflash, y'all. He's my brother.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise.
Yeah, it's my little sis. It's my little sis. She's doing her thing out here. Like, super.
I'm trying.
Super proud of her for having me out here. Appreciate and also it. Just, like, you know, carving your own way and, like, doing your own thing. Like, you know, you're doing radio stuff. You do, like, digital work. And I'm like, good gracious, this girl, I love to play. You know, I thought I was doing something. Shoot.
Not even. No, playing.
Yeah, snaps for the sis. Snaps for the sis. Let's go.
Appreciate that. Okay, well, this is about you. This is not about me. So,
but it's your show.
That's true. Let's get back to you, though. You're my guest. All right. Let's get back to this. This is great. Okay, what made you produce an EP? And this is funny because, like, I'm asking you these questions that I know the answers to, but, like, you know, yeah. I have to do it for the fans, you know.
Yeah.
Why produce an EP? Like, why not just, like, you know, present your work here and there, keep your poems stashed away? Like why go public? And you kind of touched on that earlier, but mm-hmm. I just want you to, like, expand more on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the biggest thing was it was a lot of different things, like, when I really think about it. And there was an aspect of, like, proving to myself that this is something that I'm, like, passionate about. It's proving to myself that's something that I can do. It's also combating that, like, I feel like every artist or every creative is always questioning, like, did I make this good enough? Not necessarily because they want to impress everyone else, but it's like, did I do this enough for me? Like, is this what I want to actually, like, release into the world? You know? And so, like, for me, like, that was, like, my biggest dichotomy, or, like, the biggest hang up was, like, like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm kind of like, I do spoken word, but, like, I wouldn't say that, like, I'm a spoken word artist, you know? Right. I'm like, I do it. Like, it's fun. And so, yeah. And so when my friend Cats for the Soul hit me, it was like, yo, I'm in the studio. He's actually in one of our songs. It's called Scars. And he and I co-wrote that. Like, we literally wrote that together. And so, like, that's really, really dope.
Funny thing is that he'll actually be on my next show. So let's go. Y'all stay tuned for that. But that's just a plug. But
Let's go. Yeah. So, like, that's the homie. And he really, really pushed me towards it. And he was like, bro, I'm recording. You got to get in the studio. And I was like, I'll come watch you, bro. Like, I'm down with that. And I'm always comfortable around the mic. Like, it's not something that's, like, uncomfortable for me. But it was an aspect of, you know, that confidence boost and really figuring out if that's something I really wanted to invest a lot of my time into. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it started. He was like, "Is just try it out, bro. Like, even if you just do one track or two tracks." I was like, all right, I'll just test it out. And so from September of last year to January of this year, that's all I worked on. And either I was writing content or recording,
right?
And yeah, then it released in March.
It's funny because me as your sister, like, I knew that you did spoken word. You begin to, like, send me, like, some of your stuff, like music in the back behind it. Y'all, I found out that he was releasing an EP when y'all found out he was releasing an EP. I had no idea until he was like, oh, by the way, my EP's coming out. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, I don't get, like, no, you know, like, no beforehand listen, no discounts, no. I don't get anything of this.
It's that middle child syndrome. It's that middle child syndrome, you know? Yeah, I disappeared for a second.
Straight facts. But yeah, okay, so you said that it came out in March. And where can people find your EP?
Yeah, so you can find it on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play. I believe it's on Pandora, YouTube. Yeah, it's on quite a few different platforms. Tidal.
Oh, so pretty much anywhere.
Pretty much
mainstream,
yeah.
That where you can, like, find music.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
That's cool.
Indeed.
Y'all go look him up. I'm a huge fan. Like I said, I'm biased about this, but his stuff is truth, y'all. Like, y'all surely go check him out. All right, so let's transition to our last thing. So now we're gonna listen to the third song. So what is the third piece titled, and what is that one about?
So the third piece that I'm gonna be sharing today is track number 6. It's the last track on the EP titled Self-Disclosure. And it's titled that because, you know, it coincides with, like, my EP name, you know, Reverse Introversion. And so, like, self-disclosure is kind of, like, my, like, staple on, like, just really like just getting down to like just different aspects of my personhood that I don't normally talk about, like in the past I've typically not liked talking about, but is super important to the world if you're part of spoken word. Like what you share is really huge. And so for me, I was like, how am I going to sit here and say that like I'm talking about truth? I'm not really going to be real about like who I am and like what I go through. Mm. And so that's like why, because it was just kind of like one of those, all right, is like, do it. So I didn't even actually plan on having this track on the EP. Like I wrote this in December, mm-hmm. and we were finishing up with the EP. Like my mixer was like, you know, finalizing everything and mastering it. And then I sent him this last one because I wrote it in a car. On a car ride, and oh, wow. I was like, nah, this is really hitting, like I'm really like sharing something. And so I sent it to him. I was like, hey, can you add this, like I know this, mm-hmm. like last minute. He's like, yeah, but it's just gonna push back the release date. And I was like, that's cool, bro, like that's cool, like I know that this should be in here,
right?
And so yeah, this is like a really monumental piece within like the whole EP project. Mm. All right, so with that, self-disclosure is coming right up. Be ready to cry. Be ready to have an awkward moment. You know, when you hear something that's kind of like, oh, like he said that. All right. But it all ends well. So, yeah.
Most importantly, don't forget to snap.
Pocket dials at 11, FaceTime calls at midnight. Mid-flight because my dreams were taking off to new heights. REM sleep, space heat, sweat leaks from Widow's Peak. Wool blanket from skin sheep, that's love going skin deep. Burr, burr, little black me, is you willing to freeze as his sheep? Attack, sneak, reverse streak, lil' Bo Peep, them toys freak when Sid creeps. Creative or savage, that kid's not average. We all got baggage, as hoarders we salvage and manage to package our damage and passage to not be weak and get taken advantage of. Peaking interest, always risk adage. I'm fragile in love, not in hate. Gifts are the worst, don't take them as bait. Don't label me fake, cause then you mistake me for a man that hasn't seen, a man that hasn't heard, a man that hasn't lived in a world that doesn't turn the other cheek. 7 times 70, sometimes I wish I skipped math. County forgiveness is county of freedom. Long life and longevity, putting you on a path to hear and heed, so lead them. I'm not perfect with chink in my armor and targets on my back. I didn't ask to be me, but I guess we never choose. So I take a step back, reflect on my humanity, and then I go back to the start when I realize that every Mr. Perfect has imperfections. Lust versus love has been my lifelong fight. Young, wild, and free. Young, dumb, and broke. Feeling old, but I'm young. Feeling cold, cause I'm stuck in guilt. These episodes are random, but in tandem with my first exposure to porn, this then became the new male standard. I was floored, sex educated, and prematurely coming to my own idea of love. My teacher reluctantly telling me about birds, bees, and condoms. I was homeschooled, as you can imagine, the conversation was mad awkward, tense, and crash course on anatomy was now past tense. Victoria's angels had to be heaven sent. Of this I was convinced, but repented, repeatedly relapsed, and established in sinful happenings. At 14, lack of innocence was a mystery until my folks discovered my Google history. That's when guilt began to notice me. Coke and Mentos weren't my type of bottle rockets. Room door locket, hardwell socket. Heart might pop at any stroke and just might die cause mom just walked in. We all have been there. Deny your sin, then repeat the offense again and again. And this is how it starts. Men turn out like Kevin's heart. J. Cole, K.O.D. Forget a dollar how much a woman costs. I don't mean no disrespect, it was a point to just address and resurrect the inspection into the conviction of male's lack of self-control, and we need an intervention. Male privilege times insecurity plus natural instinct times hyper-masculinity equals self-entitled sexual dependency. Jeepers, keepers, away from creepers, horn dogs as heat seekers, target a quiet, quick blast-offs demean her. Women. She takes it all to the face and calls it value. Doesn't even argue, she just wants to make you happy and feel like she's loved by you. We all have wants and we all have needs. Sacrifices relationship with the absence of greed. Love is different than lust. Nuts actually were meant to bust, but not at the expense of another's unconditional trust. Vulnerability breaks the cycle. Self-disclosures and internal explorations leave explanations for current emotional expectations. So women, we need a safe place, and men, they need better communication.
Let me hop off the soapbox. But you caught me preaching. Self-disclosure, I'm still in therapy. Let the beat scroll.
Wow, so that one just like reveals some deep dark secrets.
Yeah. But a little bit.
But I like it though because it's so authentic and so vulnerable that anybody can connect to it. And especially like the part where you said every Mr. Perfect has some imperfections, because a lot of people, you know, can assume that nothing's wrong with them,
they got it all together.
They have it all together, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but at the end of the day, we're all still imperfect, and there's things that we have to address.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that's difficult. Part of my history in terms of just like dealing with a lot of different things was like battling like depression. You know, that's been something that has been in my life, and so I'm like trying to figure out a way to own that. And a lot of it is like stress-induced depression, which is like the shadow side of perfectionism. And so like that's kind of the way it plays off. So like that's kind of what I'm talking about. It's like I didn't know, it wasn't until I addressed that I was gonna always be imperfect that I then was able to understand that it's unrealistic to try and hold yourself to perfection, you know. So
no, I like that. I like that. Give it up, y'all. Give it some snaps.
Appreciate it. I love that trumpet snaps at the end. Oh my gosh, that's my favorite part.
Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Unfortunately, I had to cut it off a little bit for time's sake,
but it's still, yeah,
y'all can listen to the whole trumpet part.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Like an extra 40 seconds.
Yes,
it is so
but
good.
But it's beautiful.
So good.
It's beautiful. Okay, I want you to freestyle.
You want me to freestyle? What you mean? Like rap freestyle?
Like, yes.
Or do like a dramatic, like theatric, like
what you typically do.
Yeah.
Fine. You can be the philosopher today if you want to be philosopher.
No, I'm saying give me something then.
You want me to like make a beat, or you want me like play a beat, or
I mean like I could do a cappella. In all my stuff I always say I'm not a rapper. I'm a wordsmith. It's different. It's like rappers freestyle. Writers write and then deliver.
I told y'all he was philosophical out here. Okay, well, spit your bars. Oh, well, do your thing.
Do my thing. All right,
express yourself, boo.
Ooh, okay. Here we go. All right. So I'm not going to do a freestyle like your typical freestyle. I'm going to do more like a poetic like riff. You know what I'm saying? Like
okay,
just like free flow, like whatever comes to the mind.
Okay. And y'all listening, don't be afraid to snap. Okay? This is free form, free snap, freestyle, okay?
Let's go. So I often think that my mind's eye tells me what comes next. I'm perplexed at the thought that comes, because then I realize that I'm only human. I'm part man, part spirit, part soul. I call that a pyramid. 3. You don't know what's coming next. I don't know what's in my future, so I look to my past and expect it like it's Christmas, because it's the present. I don't know what you think you got, but what I have is something that's uniquely me, uniquely minds, uniquely we form a whole universe that encompasses and circulates galaxies and suns and stars and planets and space, and time is relentless, and all I need is grace, because Whitney chose Bobby, and you heard that already. But I'm telling you something right now, because my hands is not that steady. It's a little, and because I can't, yeah, I don't really know what else is coming next. But if you really think about it, and if you really give it time, what you're supposed to say will come. What you're supposed to say will rhyme. Not all the time, but just in time. In time, what is time? I'm not sure, but all I know is what I do is speak the truth, and my name is, and Izzy is real. And on Instagram, you can find me. On my stories, posting up, you can find me. The lights is getting brighter. The time is getting darker. Everything I do and every time I see some marker for what? My carbon footprint. Ooh. All I do is everything.
Okay, so y'all heard that first. I promise you he wasn't reading from a screen. I saw him with my own two eyes. Like, that was like legit off the dome.
I just trying something new. This is my first time doing that. I've never actually done that before. That was fun.
There you go. I pushed you to your limit.
Yeah, you actually did. You stretching me. You stretching me.
I got you. I got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much, bro, Izzy is real, for coming in and for sharing your spoken word art and for letting us know about your EP.
Appreciate
bro,
it.
That's sis. That's dope. That's dope.
Always, always. Yeah, when I got the call from you, I was like, oh, shoot, she want me to do what? I was like, okay, yeah. Like, I appreciate that.
I was like, you know you got to be my first one, you know?
Hey, you know. I am the big bro, so you're right.
Okay, don't. Anyway. To listen to Izzy is Real's Reverse Introversion EP, you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and Spotify. You can support Izzy is Real by following him on Instagram at Izzy_is_real. To hear this interview again, all you have to do is go to KBOO's website at kboo.fm or search for Express Yourself on Google Play and iTunes. Up next, y'all, I have Jess coming on the show. She is a Portland-based artist. Stay tuned for that. Right now, though, you are about to listen to You Get Me by Izzy is Real.
I wish I had words to express the unrest after sunsets and second guesses. Exes used to be paired with hugs and O's. I never actually ate honey with Cheerios. I always thought everyone else did. I swore as a kid that I wouldn't let mine go without fish. Chill is not in front of the youth. You a godly man, don't make it clean uncouth. You gotta be the image of purity, that's what I hear, but I'm everything but that. Pure in want and blemished indeed. Unable to live up to both Michaels, now three. Jackson, Jordan, and middle name B. Sylvester reminding me of his creed. Not comparing, but just admiring how I look up to fiction. These worlds aren't real, but the stories that are told may be. Escapism, a virtual reality labeled entertainment. I'm an actor, so I'm not judging. I get in my head too much. Can't get over her touch. A bit rough, the head rush not coming. Absentness uncommon. Old memories come running of old times. When life outside of sex was painful. Shielding myself, let the pain roll off my back like Daffy. Getting dodged like Wiley. Looking God like, why me? Mr. Nice Guy getting accused of breaking hearts. Never saying my love, chose that from the start. Said I was a bitch, but then she left me like a fart. Bad taste in my life from every woman so far. She said we took it too far. I said I need to run far. Aladdin's genie called her Jasmine, but she rubbed me wrong like Jafar. That was my past, though. I don't want to be anyone's number two, because I'm tired of being treated like this. There's too much dysfunction tangled in the web of trust. Thorns on my side, they said I need to trim. Rose petals falling, she loved me knots forming in my throat that she picks me. Not Sandra's rose, but Jessica's. A rose never questions the thorn on the side because it is what it is. Beggars can't be choosers, and I'm glad I chose you because you never have to beg to be with me. Looks can be deceiving, but your eyes shoot through me like a shot of whiskey. You make me warm inside and out. I'm drunk from the remnants of your lips on mine. You can't see my cheeks redding from the California sunshine. Your smile brings to my entire being. You twinkle inside and out like a shooting star. I know you'll only walk this earth for a moment, so I make my wish for you to stay so that the twinkle in my eye can last a little bit longer. Call me sappy, but every moment with you sticks in my mind like molasses on the flat road. Call me a liar, well I am, because it's impossible for my memory to be that good. But every memory with someone is attached to an emotion or feeling. And baby, all I know is you make me remember how to feel again, how to love again. A man can dream, a woman can touch it. I'm glad I got to know you more tonight. Thank you for really opening up. That's not the only reason why I love you, but it's the reason that's keeping me up this night. Time you can't catch it, money you can't keep. People come and go like a field that gets reaped. And I'm glad we're from different trees, cause our lives bear different fruits and necessities. The world is a jungle and books never prepare you for it. Love makes you Disney, throwing off your emotional equilibrium. Making children believe people can change when in reality we never do. Hard pills to swallow are easier when you can't feel it go down. Numb. Numbing yourself to reality never makes the problem go away. It only prolongs the inevitable if you feeling the pain. Ah, baby, these are the things we talk about and I'm glad you get it. You don't even try. You make me better. I'm blessed by your existence. And out of any other woman in the world right now, I'm glad. I'm glad you get me. Yeah.
Hi, y'all. This is Jess, and you're now listening to Express Yourself on KBOO Radio.
If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Express Yourself here on KBOO Community Radio. I'm your host, Jai, and right now I have the absolute pleasure of talking with Jess about her journey to her spoken word career. She is a rising junior at George Fox University, and she is a Portland-based artist. She just recently started performing publicly in Portland. Welcome to the show, Jess.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So let's get right into this. How long have you been writing poetry?
Well, I've been writing for a while. Writing has always really been my way of expressing myself. I wouldn't say I really started doing spoken word until my freshman year of college. So we had a creative project assignment in one of my Bible classes, mm-hmm. and for the project, I decided to do a spoken word. That was kind of my first trial run. I had to perform it in front of class. I feel like that doesn't really count, but yeah, so that was my first time doing spoken word, and then since then, it's just been kind of my thing, so mm-hmm. yeah.
So what or who inspires you to write?
My emotions. I think that's just the best way that I can articulate myself mm-hmm. and express myself. And I feel like writing just gives me a lot of clarity just about, you know, my own feelings and mm-hmm. my own emotions and what's going on in my life. And it's a way that I can also, you know, reflect on the things that I've written later on and see, you know, what I've taken from the situation and how I've grown. So
I like that answer. That's good. That's good. So you just started performing spoken word, right?
Yes.
So what encouraged you to actually start performing in the first place?
Honestly, like, it was a God thing. Like, I really had no desire to perform. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like being in front of people. That's just not me. But my friend Bailey was the one who was, you know, organizing the spoken word artist for the event at Eroy. And so she asked me to, and I was like, sure, why not? And yeah, so that was the first time performing in front of an audience that, you know, was people I didn't know, which was kind of nerve wracking, but
yeah,
we made it. So.
We didn't make it alive. We did. So how was, like, that whole experience performing? Like, was it adrenaline rush? Like, I'm sure you were nervous. But, like, what did it feel like, if that makes sense?
I think in the beginning, I always get really, really nervous, mm-hmm. like, before I perform. You know, all these irrational fears going through my head. But, you know, in the midst of it, like, it's just me and my poetry, you know, like, me and my words and being able to express myself. I'm very much like a verbal processor. And so saying things out loud really just solidifies those words and those thoughts that I put down on paper. And yeah, it just feels really good to be able to share myself with people mm-hmm. in a way that I feel like I can articulate myself well.
That's a wow. You're like, you're knocking these answers out of the park. I love them. I love it. I love it. I love it. I too also, like, when I first started performing, was like very nervous, very nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Sweaty palms, sweaty legs, just like sweaty everything.
Yeah.
Sweaty everything.
Yeah.
So with that, like, what would you tell someone who is, like, interested in performing, but, like, they're just, like, apprehensive about it and are a little scared? Like, what did you have to do? Or, like, what was the measure you took to actually, like, step out on a limb and actually, like, perform?
Honestly, I'd just say fears are irrational sometimes, you know? And one of my, like, mottos is to not live by fear. Just because I feel like fear prevents us from doing a lot and living a lot. And, you know, I want every day of my life to be one that I've lived. So I don't want fears of, you know, what people are going to think of my words or how people are going to receive it or even, you know, respond to it. I don't want that fear to keep me from doing me and living my best life. So
yeah, no, for sure, for sure. All right, so let's transition to listening to a few of your pieces. What is the title of the first piece you'll be sharing with us, and what is it about?
So the title of my first piece is All of Me, and it's about kind of just my journey of being biracial, and being black and white is constantly living in a world of tension, to be honest. You know, being too black for the white people, too white for the black people, and really just kind of trying to find my way. And so, yeah, I wrote this for a spoken word event that we held for our Black Student Union at George Fox last Black History Month, and yeah, so. Okay, so this requires a little audience participation.
I got you.
Okay.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay. Do you like knock-knock jokes?
Yes.
Okay, great. So when I say knock-knock, what do you say?
Who's there?
And then I say, it's Jess, and then you say?
Jess who?
Okay, great. So as I read my poem, you gotta say that with me, okay?
Gotcha.
Okay. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
It's me.
Me who?
It's me, the one you've known forever. It's your daughter, the one you raised. It's your friend, the one who has always been there for you. It's your student, the one that always tries so hard in class. Mm. Must I reintroduce myself to you for the millionth time? My soul is tired. Every day I have to reintroduce myself to you because you either don't recognize my blackness or you fail to recall my whiteness. Mm. Does my blackness not look like yours? Does my whiteness not resemble yours? Apparently not. My blackness is so much deeper than the pigment of my skin. Not only is my blackness weaved into my rich cultural history, my blackness is what inspires me every day. People that look like me are being treated unfairly due to having more melanin than the standard person. Mm. My blackness has given me greater compassion, empathy, and love for those that are considered the other and are marginalized. My whiteness is so much deeper than the pigment of my skin, but my whiteness will never look like yours. Being half white, I was raised listening to country. I understand your Harry Potter and C.S. Lewis references. So before you tell me you wouldn't understand, try me. Mm. My soul is tired. Has there ever been a point where you saw both sides of me? No, and I guess that's my fault. That's my bad for having code switching down to science. My fault for being raised in a white home and I can't speak fluent Ubonics. Mm. It's irritating as being too white for the black people and too black for the white people. I just want to be me. You're only viewing me through this little peephole that is your lived experiences. Instead of limiting my biracial identity to your scope of understanding, open up the door to see all of me. See my fullness and all the beautiful things God has purposely made me for. God created me to be a bridge builder, one who bridges the gap between two races that are constantly pinned against each other, mm. one who is fully black and fully white. Forget the concept of half. That's crap. I'll tell you that it never feels like that. Sometimes it feels like 80% white and 20% black, or maybe 99% black and 1% white. But regardless of how I feel, I'm going to live into the fullness of who I am every day. I'm tired of being tired. Let's try something new for once. Dare to see me and all of me. If you do that, I promise to not hide the parts of me that I'm afraid you won't accept. Mm. I'll just be me and all of me. So knock, knock.
Who's there?
It's Jess.
Jess who?
Just Jess, but all of me.
Oh, give it up for Jess. Snaps all around. Yes, Jess.
Thank you.
Wow, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, that's really cool. And it's funny because a lot of people don't speak their truth like that, or they're not that vulnerable when it comes to like sharing who they are. And so like that poem was just about how you're half black, you're half white, but at the same time, you're one person, and you mm-hmm. and you encompass both sides, and it's not just a majority one, majority other.
Mm-hmm.
You're just. It's just 100. Ah, girl. No words. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Perfect. Okay, so let's transition to your second one.
Okay.
So what's the title of that one, and what is that one about?
Ooh, so this one is a recent one. It's called A Rude Awakening, and it's about a boy that broke my heart.
Aww.
And really just... I've always really been the type of person to put others before myself.
Hmm.
And I feel like this relationship really just taught me that there are some spaces and places where you can't always put others before yourself, and you shouldn't always put others before yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this poem really just was me expressing, you know, a point in my life where I was trying to figure that out, trying to find a balance between the two. And being heartbroken in the midst of that, so
that's really yeah. sad. First of all, I'm so sorry, but second of all, I'm glad you like found triumph through it and you were able to like write about it,
yeah,
and get to share it with us,
right? Yeah,
go ahead, girl.
Okay, so this is A Rude Awakening. Loving you was like falling asleep. I fought it at first, determined that I was okay on my own. I didn't want to admit my fear of being alone. Once I admitted defeat, you were like a wave in the sea, building and building until your large force crashing over me. Drowning in the intoxication of your essence, suddenly all I craved was to be in your presence. I fell fast and hard, almost like it was all at once. A master manipulator you were, saying all the right things. You were an autopilot, coasting on my feelings like planes. You were sweet when you wanted to be, or more like when you wanted something from me. You loved the convenience of my giving nature, taking and taking, but only for your pleasure. I was easy on the eyes and edifying to your soul, but still your insecurities were out of control. You don't want to commit, and you trust, and your trust issues are legit. I understand your fears and would never belittle your tears, but when will I be enough for you? When will you stop projecting her mistakes onto me, expecting me to fall into temptation and leave my eternity? Yes, you would be my eternity. In a perfect world, I would choose you every day of my life. There would be nothing in this world that I wouldn't sacrifice, because you would have the capacity to love me too. Nothing would be better than waking up next to you. But this isn't a perfect world, and you can't love me how I need you to. Life is full of choices, and hers left you voiceless. I'm done cleaning a mess I didn't make. It's exhausting, and I didn't realize the emotional strength it would take. I'm choosing myself. I choose to love and protect my own heart before anyone else. All my life, I've chosen others first, and I'm realizing that it's left me questioning my worth. The truth is, I still love you, and it hurts. It pains me to know that you are temporary, but I won't be your insecurities adversary. It's time to wake up and look around. From within is where your healing will be found. I can't be your healer. Only Jesus can do that. But maybe once you've healed, then we can have a chat.
Snaps, y'all. Snaps.
Yeah, I literally wrote that like 2 days ago. So. It's still really fresh. Yeah. So, yeah.
Girl, like I have no words. Again, that was like another piece of you just sharing yourself and being vulnerable. Like, and I feel like spoken word in and of itself in poetry, I feel like it has to be authentic, or like it defeats the purpose of it even being written, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel like it should come from the heart, it should come from the soul, and it should come from like a real place. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Express Yourself here on KBU Community Radio. I am here talking with Portland-based artist Jess about her journey to spoken word. Okay, so as we wrap up, how often do you perform your poetry?
Not very often. My first time was during Black History Month this year, and then my second time was at Eroy just a few weeks ago, and now this is my third time, so you know, we're not very consistent, but
making progress
for sure.
Well, I guess that defeats my next question. I was going to ask, where can listeners see you perform live?
Oh,
but
that's not really a thing.
I'm assuming you wouldn't know when your next show is either.
No.
Okay. Well, with that, do you have any last thoughts, comments, concerns, or anything that you want to let the listeners know about?
Well, I love to know that my words have impacted people. So, you know, if something touched you, if you want to reach out, Instagram is probably the best way to do so. My Instagram is just my full name, Jessica Coin Pen. So it's JessicaCoynePenn. And you can just shoot me a DM, you know, let's chat it up. I'd love to talk. So, yeah.
Yes. And take her up on that offer, because she's a wonderful person.
Thank you.
Yes, she's a wonderful person. Well, we are all out of time for today's show. Thank you so much, Jess, for coming on the show.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. Again, if you thoroughly enjoyed what you heard today from Jess, you can follow her on Instagram at JessicaCoinPen. To hear this interview again, or to listen to the previous interview with Izzy Israel, go to KBOO's website at kboo.fm, or you can search for Express Yourself on iTunes and Google Play. The song playing in the beginning of this interview is Express Yourself by N.W.A. The other three songs entitled Self-Disclosure, These Lips, and You Get Me are all by the Portland-based artist Izzy Israel. For Express Yourself and KBOO Community Radio, I'm Jai. Thank you so much for listening.
And you're tuned to Community Radio KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River, 104.3 FM Philomath. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Oregon Zoo Summer Concerts. Presenting Taj Mahal with Mark Cohn, featuring guest vocalist Blind Boys of Alabama. Friday, August 16th. All ages welcome. Tickets and more information available online at zooconcerts.com.